Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You know, Pittsburgh does a great job physically, defensively, and it was very difficult out there to score. I mean, again, the first half we shot the ball incredibly. You know, made five threes. Second half we're 2 for 12.
There were the two plays in the second half. One, McGowan's got free throws off of when he was fouled on the three, and there was a leg kick.
Yeah, he kicked.
A few minutes later.
The second time.
What did the referee say to you?
Well, he kicked his leg. I mean, same thing I saw before. He kicked out with his leg. Can't do that.
Jim, halfway through conference season, how good are you guys? What kind of team do you think you have?
We'll find out at the end. I don't make predictions before the season, during the season. At the end of the year, you'll know how good you are. Right now, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what I say or you say or anybody says. Those guys on TV, that's how they get paid a lot of money to be up there, so they say all that stuff. At the end of the year, nobody remembers what bullshit they said.
Boy, you were going to owe a fortune to the swear jar.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning into the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, as always, please subscribe. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you, the fans, a voice. So, welcome. Well, we finished up the first half of ACC play. One half down, one half to go. It's only going to get tougher from here. The Orange meet reasonable expectations, I think, at 2-1 in this stretch of road games to begin this second third of the six-game segments we're looking at. You'll hear from us. We'll hear from you. And Syracuse heads back to the Dome Sweet Dome to face Florida State Tuesday, February 5th, with another 8 o'clock game. And we'll let you know what to expect with that. But first, tickets. If you need tickets, you need tickets to anything. You know, I used to go to NASCAR. I still go to NASCAR races a lot. And I used to just go there empty-handed and go try to find tickets. Well, there's been times where I'd go there and try to find tickets and I couldn't. And then I'm paying out the ying for tickets at the box office. Well, don't do that. Don't go through that hassle. Go to TixBlitz. TixBlitz is the official ticket provider of the Armchair Media Network. And unlike other ticketing providers that sneak in the extra fees and unexplained service charges, at TixBlitz, the price you see is the price you pay. No unnecessary fees should prevent you from seeing the sporting event or concert you want to go to. Go to TixBlitz.com and enter the promo code ARMCHAIR at checkout to receive 5% off your total ticket purchase. That's TixBlitz.com. Promo code ARMCHAIR. Tix Blitz, guaranteed seats, guaranteed emotions. Joe?
Yes.
How's it going, buddy?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. So were you just real quick before we get into the breakdown, were you a little bit surprised how easily, I wouldn't say easily, but how Syracuse handled Pitt, especially in the first half?
Oh, yeah, especially considering the points, the amount of points the Tigers battle
right.
scored.
Yeah.
That was very, I mean, he had zero at halftime.
And he finished.
And we were up, what, 13? So.
Yeah. And
it was a team effort.
Chukwu started strong.
Yeah. He started strong, and Daddy's boy came in and hit some threes. So
I love Daddy's boy. I do.
I just think it's so great to see that it didn't faze him. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's great to see it doesn't faze. You know, they did it at Duke too, but you know what? All you can do, shut him up, hit a three-point shot, shut him up, or steal the ball, and that's what he was doing. Orange improved to 16-6, 7-2 in ACC play by taking out Pitt for the second time in 2 weeks. I don't know what was more shocking to me at the end of this game: Brissett with 18 points or Chukwu outscoring Battle 10-6. thankfully, when Battle struggles, he's dishing it out. He had 5 assists. Pascal was really close to a double-double with 8 rebounds to accompany his 10 points. Brissett with his 17th double-double of his career with 12 rebounds to pair his 18 points. And speaking of Daddy's Boy, I love what Coach is doing with Buddy. Because, I mean, he uses him really strategically when he does use him, or he doesn't use him at all. But when he's in there, I mean, he's been pretty efficient in conference play, at least. He adds a spark, and he's been becoming, you know, scrappy on defense. He had 2 steals last night, 6 yep. points, 2 for 5 from the floor. He's only going to improve, and you can only imagine that he's going to be a star down the road. I mean, he's going to be, he's going to run, you know, his senior year. It's going to be all Buddy, man. I can't wait. So, I can.
He's already shooting 50% in ACC play this year as a freshman, and usually your confidence only gets up or goes up the older you get and the more experience you get. So, yeah, I'm definitely excited, and it's good to have somebody that's, you know, 50% three-point shooter coming off the bench just in case Howard or Battle need a little bit of rest or, you know.
Yeah, or have a night like
struggling a little bit. Yeah,
yeah. Pitt stifled Hughes again. He struggled against them a couple weeks ago when we played. He only had 5 points this time. He had 8, I think, last time. And again with Howard, working in tandem with Brissett. It seems like if Tyus has an off day, when someone does step up, if it's Brissett, it's also Battle. He had 15 points. And also Howard. He had 15 points and 4 steals, and I'd say the message was sent by Coach and it was received by those two. They responded like veterans, and as fans, obviously, that's what we like to see. We talked in the last show about how Coach motivates the benching and being brutally honest in pressers, and there's no motivation more powerful than having to go out there and prove yourself. And that's what both of those guys did last night. So it was good to see that. And I hope they can keep it up. Coach mentioned in the montage that that Howard is back to where he was in summer when he was shooting during practice. And I hope that he's off the schneid there. The difference, though, I thought, in my opinion, was the defense, the Orange Holden Pitt, to 31.6 overall and 22.7 from distance. Syracuse, once again, though, was out-rebounded by 4, 39-35. The all-time series with Pitt rests at 70-45 in favor of the Orange. A quad one win was adjusted to a quad two win this morning as the new net rankings came out. I thought that might happen. Pitt loses their 5th straight, and they slipped from 69 in the net to 81 in the net. That's one of the biggest. That's one of the biggest falls I've seen in one. 2 days, I guess, in 2 days. Syracuse, though, climbs from 45th to 42nd. So
nice.
There's your net rankings. That's the good and the bad of the net rankings. You beat a quad one. You had a quad one win last night. You wake up this morning, and it's a quad two.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I thought maybe there was a chance that because it was a... Well, it was a quad two game for them, but I was thinking maybe with their strength of schedule, that's why they were staying up in the net rankings for so long, because they're hovering right around where they were. They lose the 5th game to us, and they drop 12 points. So
yeah, but that could have been their second loss since the net.
That's true. It could have been.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're right.
Maybe they lost a game Thursday or something or Wednesday, and they haven't changed in that since then. Who knows? But
so, like I was saying with Buddy, you know, he comes out, he hits a couple threes. He wasn't in there very long. I mean, you could see when, you know, you could see when Buddy's time was up. I feel like, right? He had the turnover, and but he was scrappy while he was out there, man. I mean, and he's doing really good. But how? I mean, we've been waiting for Brissett to come up with a big game, and it's like you saw glimpses of it. I guess we really did against Boston College. I know Coach was kind of hard on him, and I mean maybe we kind of were too. But he started that game pretty good, and you could tell he was trying. He just wasn't succeeding. Last night he did what he needs to do every game. And
oh yeah, absolutely.
Right? I mean,
back in the boards. He was back in the boards. He was down low doing what he does. Got a couple blocks. I mean, scored 18 points off of just, you know, 6-9 shooting field goals. He was 6-8 from the free throw line. And I mean, same thing with Frank Howard scoring 15 and him kind of filling up the stat sheet. He went 4-for-4 from the free throw line, 3-from-7 from the 3-point line, you know, only took 9 shots. I mean, neither of them shot more than 10 shots, and
they were making them. The difference was free throws, 82.4%. They've struggled as a team all year. You had Brissett 6-for-8. Chukwu hit the only two he took. Battle hit the only two he took. And Frank Howard hit the 4 he took.
Yeah. Some of the free throws, they kind of, you know, helped to keep it close, you know, in the double-digit range type stuff like that. But a lot of it just comes down to just the percentage that you said. The shooting percentage alone is really the difference in this game. Because if you look at the turnovers and everything like that, again, we were pretty better with the assists and better with the steals and the blocks and stuff like that. But the turnovers were still close. Rebounds were really too close to really matter. So the big difference that you see in this game is really just the shooting percentage. So, I mean, we haven't really even talked about it, but I mean, defense played a really solid game. Chukwu played good down the middle. They let a couple.
Oh, they had couple, they let a couple open
behind
threes.
Them go. Yeah, you know, yeah, but I mean, if you take away some of that other stuff, I mean, they were kicking their legs out all game. I think they hit two. They got, I think, at least 6 points off of kicking their leg out on those threes, and until they got, you know, Frank Howard got the call on the third time. Once Jerry McNamara had, you know, once I read it today, it was Jerry McNamara who pointed it out and talked, showed the ref what was going on. So, again, just an overall good team win when somebody like Tyus Battle was sitting down and not really scoring usually what he does.
Joe, let's talk about that real quick, because I'm not sure if there's any fan feedback on it. Maybe there is. I don't know. But accidental, the leg? Is it accidental in your opinion?
No,
it's taught, right?
I mean, I don't think it's necessarily. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Why would you kick your leg out when you go to naturally jump? The closer your feet stay together, you know, the more square you stay, the easier it is to land square. You know, you don't shoot and spread your legs out, or you don't jump and spread your legs out when you're shooting like that. So again,
unless you don't know where the ground is. I mean,
they've had to tweak that rule in the NBA before. I mean, Reggie Miller used to do it all the time. And a lot of guys, sometimes what they'll do is they'll kick their legs out, but forward. And a lot of times that's for guys running in front of them, you know, stuff like that. But when you're blatantly kicking it off to one side or another based upon which way the defender is running by you, that's not only dangerous because you're falling and you're tripping the other guy. But on top of that,
someone can get injured, first of all.
Yeah.
But, you know, Brissett, if you go back and look, it was at Orange Bias on Twitter, but I think they have a Facebook page too. They have it that shot from him where Brissett got called for a foul behind the arc, and he tripped over the dude's leg. I mean, the dude literally tripped him. So,
yeah,
I mean,
that was the same guy that's the same guy that got the call against against Frank Howard. But there was another time when Wilson Frame on the sideline tried to do it to Elijah Hughes as well. So, and he made the shot, but there was no call. So again, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you kind of push the issue sometimes to try to get calls. Hope that the ref doesn't see what's going on or try to get away I mean, that's just something you do until they call it on you. And then, you know, you got to stop
it. It's dirty.
I mean, I don't want to say it's
That's dirt. That's dirty.
If you look, you're trying to get a call, man. I mean, look, they got two.
I understand. You can try to.
They got away with it twice. They got 6 points out of it. They got the call, and then they stopped doing it. You know, it's just one of those things.
Well, they stopped doing it because the refs finally called it. But
there's a lot of rules that get pushed to that limit in a lot of different sports where you kind of push the issue until you force the refs to start controlling it.
If you're throwing your leg out to create contact and initiate some sort of contact, I mean, it's going to be a trip. I think that's dirty. I don't think flopping's dirty. That's trying to get a call too. That's not dirty. You know, when you're creating a situation where someone can get hurt for your advantage, not caring about, you know, them just trying to get a call.
No, but
that's
they're
dirty.
Falling too. If you get hit in your leg as you're shooting, that guy's going down too. So they're kind of sacrificing themselves as well.
Well, that's up to them.
Right. That's the same thing as flopping, or AKA taking a charge or trying to take a charge.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, all right. Well, you want to talk? You got anything to wrap up the for you on the game end before we get into fan feedback?
Solid game.
Solid game on the road.
I mean, Pitt, they're scrappy, and that was a scrappy, hard fought game last night. That's physical.
Good defense.
But we had good defense. They didn't really shoot that well, and we got out of there. I was surprised. I got a little nervous during the second half when they cut the deficit, but
yeah, they got within two.
All in all, I mean, I'm very impressed with the way we've been playing on the road this year, and the fact again that, like we talked about, battle 2-13 with 6 points. That's and then to still pull out the win and not even really have it wasn't really even a nail biter at the end, you know. So
no, it wasn't really, but it was getting there.
It's at one point it was, but then it went back.
Yeah,
and then we kind of gained control, but.
I'm real impressed with Syracuse going on the road and not only just being on the road. I mean, you look at Boston College or you look at what was another one? Give me an easy one. What was the
Wake
other
Forest?
One? Well, we haven't played them yet, but you look at you look at Boston College or Notre Dame, okay? And then you look at places like Cameron Indoor or, you know, the zoo. You know, these people call themselves the zoo.
Right.
You know, hostile environments, man, where they line the length of the court with the students. And they're straight assholes, let's be honest. So, you know.
How dare you?
It's not easy for these kids to go in there and be taunted and yelled at and you know, everything like, you know, everything under the sun. It's not easy to hold your composure and stay in the game, but it's motivating. And I'm proud of this team for the way they've played at Cameron Indoor and at Pittsburgh. It says a lot to me. So,
yeah. There was a couple seasons ago where I believe with Gillen and White and them, or we didn't make the tournament because of.
Yeah, we got rattled there big time.
It wasn't even a rattle. That was we had minimal. What was it? But I think the only games that we won on the road were at NC State and at Clemson late in the year.
Right.
And those were the only games we won on the road. And I remember we made the NIT that year. I think it was because of the fact that we just didn't win any big games on the road. So that's again one thing that I look at that's kind of a positive going in as we keep going into the season. I mean, hopefully we won't have to worry about it, but if again, that's another positive thing on the bubble. I think we're 6-1 on the road. So
yeah, and hey, you mentioned White and Gillen. So I said White scored 4. Just a correction because you reminded me of it, and I went and looked it up. You said we talked about Gillen last episode, and I said he scored 43 points one game. That was. Gillen scored those points, not White. I said White did, but it was Gillen.
Against NC State, right? That was the one I went to.
Yeah. It was Gillen that scored 43, but there was one time when White scored 40 in that same year.
Yep.
So,
yep.
But, yeah, not good on the road that year. I felt bad for those guys, grad transfers. But,
I think, like I said, I think that that was really what they ended up saying. What the committee ended up saying that year was the fact that they didn't really prove that they could go and win on the road.
Right. All right, well, let's do some fan feedback, man. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the Loud House, the best damn college sports fans in the nation.
All right, you guys know the deal. Go to Facebook, go to Twitter, look us up there if you haven't, if you're not already. At Cuse Militia is the universal handle for everything. I always propose a question at the end of the game for you to give us your thoughts on the game. All right, we will start with Twitter. We're going to start with Facebook. Joe says, Brissett was a beast tonight. I guess Battle and Hughes deserve an off game. We need that out of Howard every night. Yeah, I mean, there's been a couple games where Howard's been close to doing stuff like that, but, I mean, I don't know. It's the inconsistency thing, Joe, for me.
Yeah, that second half, though, he stepped up big. He had two threes in a row, and then he had that, like, jump stop at the free throw line kind of jumper that he had. He's starting to look more and more like his old self. But again, like you said, it's the consistency thing, but I think he's starting to get it. And I'm kind of excited for him and Brissett stepping up and having a game like this. So now it's just putting it all together so they can kind of do it all at the same time.
Yeah, we'll just have to see, you know, what happens against Florida State and see if he can keep it going. I'm telling you, though, if that, all these guys can get clicking, I mean, it's like, so it's been such a struggle getting all these guys to click for just a solid performance, team performance. It's been like maybe two games you could point to. Nick says, if they can get that production out of our bigs with more consistency, wow, hey, it's like he read my mind. We can become a dangerous team. Brissett showed tonight why he can be an NBA pick. Pitt is a scrappy team and plays D that way. Tough game to watch at times, but pulled out the W, and that's all that mattered. On to the next one. Yeah, their D was scrappy. Their D is like, you know, they play that. It was almost like in the second half, it was very similar to how Virginia Tech was playing us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, well, they just got that, you know, in-your-face guards.
Yeah, it's hard to watch sometimes because our guys were kind of – Hughes, I mean, it rattled Hughes a little bit. He was losing control of the ball quite a bit. So
yeah,
and there was a couple. I mean, it wasn't just Hughes. I'm not singling him out by any means. There was there was a couple of them. But the we talked about – Joe, I think we talked about it last night. The two offensive rebounds towards the end of the game – where I said, you know, what would you rather have? A minute 14 wasted off the clock with three missed shots, or to maybe hit one of those shots, albeit a two or, you know, a two pointer. But at that point in time, to milk that clock out for a minute 14, you know.
Yeah. Well, best case scenario is you do that and then hit the last one, right?
Right, exactly.
But if you're talking the first one or something like that,
the
again,
second at the very latest,
a lot can happen. Lot can happen in a short amount of time in basketball with timeouts and stuff like that. So, I that milking the getting the three opportunities there and the two offensive rebounds to be able to milk over a minute there at the end was pretty crucial, man. It really was.
And if Brissett showed tonight why he can be an NBA pick, yeah, if he played like that all, you know, season up to this point.
Well, yeah.
But we know it.
If he was averaging a double-double, then he'd probably have a better record.
But we know he can do it, though, and that's kind of what's been so frustrating. But I'll tell you what, if he finishes off the last half of ACC play, then, you know, he might still be in the mix there. So,
and you know that happens in college basketball. Is just sometimes something just clicks, or you know, whether it's for a team or for individual players, you see a lot of times every year you don't really hear about a guy, and then they go to the tournament, and the guy goes on a four game, you know, just tear and shows out in the tournaments, you know, conference tournaments, NCAA tournament, just at the end of the year overall. And then the guy's a top NBA pick. You see it every year. So, that's why I love basketball, because you have all year and we're still right there. And it all it's going to take is for it to click, whether it's for Brissett or Battle or just everybody all together at the same time. Not Battle, Howard.
I mean, maybe it clicked because he was, you know, berated on a national stage at a press conference. Maybe that's
like I said, I'm telling you, I'd be willing to bet that if you go back more times than not, the person that gets berated on a post-game press conference, comes back and has a decent game the next game.
Well, that's adversity right there, because Coach tore him a new one. And he didn't play great, but he had played okay. I mean, I thought he played okay in the first half.
Well, he played the.
I'm talking about Boston College right now.
Right, the first like eight, maybe the first five, six, 8 minutes, he played really good, and then it turned right back into.
He fizzled out. Yeah, turned back into his old self. But he was at least trying. He wasn't chucking up threes the whole game. I mean, we've complained about that too. So.
No, yeah, you have.
Yes,
for sure.
I have. Let's see. Steven says, we came out of the road trip 2-1. We did what we needed to do. We play 6 ranked teams in our last 9 games. So buckle up. So it's buckle up time, Q's fans.
buckle up, Buttercup.
Buckle up. It is. And we've talked about it. It is a brutal back end of the schedule. And, you know, we talked about coming out of these 3 games, 2-1, as I would be happy with 2-1. And, you know, it could have very easily have been 1-2, very easily. Mm-hmm. Really happy about that, no doubt there.
Yeah, to be 2-1 coming from a little road trip like that, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. This is trite, but it is also my cousin. So, and he never says anything when I ask him for his thoughts on the game. So he said, "A win is a win. I'll take it." It's very. You see why he doesn't do the show with us. Great job, Eric. Joe says, any conference road win is a big win. At Joe Pasek 44. Any conference road win is a big win. Tyus wasn't scoring, but he was facilitating. O'Shea took up the scoring load. Keep improving. Keep learning. Keep getting better. On to the next one. Let's go. Hope my punctuation suits you guys. Yes, absolutely.
See?
Did you see, Joe? Did you see both of you, Joes? Did you see how smoothly I ran through that? See how smooth that was?
You probably practiced it a bunch today.
Just get the hell out of here. If I was going to practice any of them,
see,
I screw it up to begin with? Okay? So
Practice.
See,
he just gets it. He gets it. See?
Yeah, he gets it. And I appreciate it. Kev, let's just call him Kev Nash.
Here we go. Why?
Because when I go through and pick comments, I screenshot them and I circle them, and I covered his handle up. So, my bad. I think he's a DJ in Syracuse, 107 something, 107.9. Yeah. Anyway, Frank was huge with 2 back-to-back threes in the second half. Those are kind of what sealed it up. I mean, towards the end.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
It was awesome. So, to see that from Frank. We've talked about Tyus having an off night. To see Frank step up like that, I hope we're getting over that hump. It's kind of been he's kind of slowly been improving. He's had a couple steps back against Boston College, but came back out again against Virginia Tech, right? Yeah, but either way, doesn't matter.
No, Boston College. His buddy went in and played the end of the game
right.
So
that's what it was, and he was mean mugging on the bench. That was the last show. That's right.
But he came out and played good. See the motivation?
Yeah, it's awesome.
You get benched, and then you get reamed out in a press conference, and they both come out, and they're the reason that we win the next game.
But, which is, you know, maybe he should have berated Tyus during this press
mental
conference.
Mental warfare. You don't berate Tyus.
You don't berate Tyus. Nobody puts Tyus in the corner. What is wrong with you?
He's only got that's only his third single digit game this year. So.
I know, but jeez, come on, Tyus. But he was dishing it out. Hey, Joe, I'm kidding. Here we go. At little baby Lulu XO, Oakland Zoo and students are trash.
Yes.
They're so freaking annoying. They are the worst. They are. I mean, who's worse, Joe? The Cameron crackheads or the petting zoo? Who's worse?
I don't know. It's annoying, but they're not even.
Did you see their?
At least they got a reason to be able to act.
Exactly.
Like that.
Great point, Joe. I didn't even think about that. That is a great point. So they had.
And then they're just crying and whining about. I don't know.
And both of the school's students have the paper. I don't know what Duke's is called, but Pitt's is called the Dirt, where they go through players' social media, and they basically make fun of them. And they got in here, you know, about O'Shea Brissett. You know, he's from Canada, so when he's at the line, chant USA during his free throws. Like, how stupid is that?
Like, well, I don't know. I mean, he shot 6-8, so I think it helped.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm talking about. Motivation, man. And, oh, 90% of his tweets and retweets are videos or pictures of himself. Okay. And then you got, you know, the same old BS. Coach Daddy's Boy, you know, chant Daddy's Boy or chant Noodle when Dolezal is at the line. Okay, that's funny.
I mean, it's kind of funny, but still, like,
even Pete Davidson hates Syracuse. Who cares? Pete Davidson's a dope. Who cares? Who cares what he says? A lot of people don't like Syracuse. He didn't say anything about the team, though. Who cares? Pitt's a great place.
Yeah. Oakland Zoo.
Yeah. I don't even know what state they're in. At Tony Staffieri. Is that good? Is that good? Staffieri. I got it. You know why I got it? Because he broke it down for me, syllable by syllable.
Saw that.
Frank picked a great time to have a senior moment. Yes, absolutely. Best game, probably his best game of the season, O'Shea's best game of the season. The last time they had their best games of the season, they both had their best games of the season in the same game. Both of them working, you know, picking up the slack. And it was another game where Tyus kind of struggled a little bit. So, yeah, and hopefully we can grow on that. Hopefully it just gets better and better. Hopefully I say they had their best game of the season next after Tuesday. So, at TRWIL6510, the biggest difference in this game was Chukwu. He had 8 points and did a good job rebounding and alternating the shots. Yeah, Chukwu, like, I don't know if Coach gave him enough credit. He said he played decent in the beginning, but, I mean, when he was out there, it was tough. He made it tough for those guys.
Yeah. Because he was scoring, too. So,
He was scoring. He got us out to a good – I think he scored the first 8 of the 10 points, maybe, or is it 6?
6 of the 8.
Okay.
Something like that.
Sure. But – when he's down there and he was doing stuff, we talked about that the last episode. If he's down there and he's doing stuff, they have to adjust around that. So even when he came back in and he really wasn't doing a ton, he was still there. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, I was good with it.
Yeah. No, that's
– I thought he played good.
I'm perfectly fine with the way that he played.
I mean, I'm happy with his final numbers. I guess that's what it comes down to for me. You know, because that's what we kind of need him to do. I would like him to be in the double-double range. I mean, you know, 10 points, 8 rebounds isn't terrible, though. So, I mean, I'll take that for what we
can get. No, Brissett was stealing a lot of them.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see. At Skren14, a good road dub. Continue to be amazed at Carey getting zero time. I get it. This is what Jimmy B does. Vets get the minutes, but just let the kids play through some of the mistakes and learn. His attacking style could be crucial versus ball pressure defense like UVA and UNC. I somewhat disagree with.
Oh, yeah?
I somewhat disagree about being amazed by him getting zero time. When he's out there, he is energetic. He is decent on defense, but he turns the ball over really easy. So. I mean,
He's had some bad passes and stuff like that, but I think that, like when I think about what he's trying to say, Chris is trying to say is that, when you look ahead to some of these teams, I mean, you see just when we play teams like Pittsburgh, right? When we talk about them being all up in you, playing defense and everything like that, you can see that Elijah Hughes really isn't great at handling that pressure Buddy Boeheim really isn't all that great at dribbling, you know, in that pressure and stuff like that. So I just don't see some of those guys unless they end up going and playing zone to where Buddy and Elijah can maybe find some spots. But if they're playing that tough in your face, man to man that like Virginia does, like teams that he's talking about, you're going to need some guys who can, not saying Buddy Boeheim's scared, but he doesn't have the speed and kind of the athleticism somewhat as far as Carey to be able to handle that type of pressure. And I'm just talking getting the ball up the court.
Yeah, well,
you know, I understand so I
that.
Look at it like,
I do agree, and we've said it. We said it a lot last year, especially with Howard, with him, with the bench being so short and Howard able to play through his mistakes. I do agree with some of that, but on the other hand, though, like, how long do you let him play through his mistakes? Like, these games are so close right now. The opportunity for him to play through his mistakes was early, and I feel like Coach let him do that. And he was getting a lot of minutes before conference play.
Well, he was, and he's been battling with certain injuries throughout the whole year. Yeah, you know, with his ankle in the beginning, and then I think he had a shoulder where he missed some games.
Yeah.
And again, with Buddy playing as good as he is, and some of the older guys, I get it. I get why you're playing the guys you're playing, and it is to get the W's and against the teams that are in front of you right now. So again, you never really know. Like I said, you never really know who you're going to need when it comes to teams like this, and you just hope that Carey's prepared. So, I mean, who knows what he's doing in practice, and who knows the conversations that Boeheim's having with Carey about when he's going to get his time and when it's going to be his turn and stuff like that. But I hope that it doesn't come back to bite us.
Well,
that's all I'm really saying.
Well, I know.
Because high-pressure defense, it's already been pretty much proven, especially when it comes to, you know, passing the ball in inbounds play, breaking a press, that kind of stuff. I mean, Buddy carries a better option than probably Hughes and Boeheim.
Right, but you know that coach is looking at practice though too. So we don't know what Carey's doing in practice. Maybe he's having really bad. Maybe he's not doing good in practice, and that's why Coach was putting Buddy in a lot, because he was having good practices. And when he would shoot like crap, he'd get yanked.
Well, when you're struggling to score points.
Right.
And you see somebody shooting the way that Buddy's been shooting in practice, then obviously you're going to make the change. And again, like I said, it's them not looking past it. I get it. But I do think that there are going to be struggles. And I think where he's coming from is that maybe, you know, Carey needs to be prepared to be able to come in and handle some situations that maybe Buddy Boeheim or Elijah Hughes isn't going to be able to handle.
Yeah, I understand that. I would agree with some of that, but I would like to see him get. I'm not stunned that he's not getting any minutes right now. Put it that way. But on the other hand, I would like to see him get minutes. I would like to see him get out there and see what he can do. Maybe at home versus Florida State might be a good one. I don't know.
Never know.
But it's all going to come down to how he does in practice. Is my thought. I guess.
Okay.
So.
Well, only time shall tell.
If not now, when? 84. I liked Frank. Buddy continues to be a huge asset. Tyus can do more than score. Ref suck. okay. Good win on the road. Cuse. Yeah, good win on the road. The refs, I'm trying to think. They were,
I didn't mind them because we got a kind of a wave with a couple. I mean, I don't want to say away with them, but they called that kick out, and then they stopped that play when Chukwu got elbowed.
Yeah, so what did you think about that? That was another classy moment from the petting zoo down there on the floor.
Technically, you're supposed to let that play.
Yeah, I wonder why they didn't. Huh?
I don't know.
Well, why'd you pause so long there?
Chukwu went down.
Oh, he went down, yeah. It looked like maybe – I don't even know. I didn't really see him.
He got elbowed in his ribs or his chest or something like that.
Well, freaking eat a damn cheeseburger, man.
I don't know if it was his ribs or if he got the wind knocked out of him or whatever, but
– well, maybe he got the wind knocked out of himself. But all right, yeah. Well, that's your fan feedback top 10 for – actually, I don't even know if it was 10. I don't remember counting it out for sure. But
unbelievable.
But if you got a bonus, you got it. But I tell you what, it was at least 10. But go to @CuseMilitia on Twitter and Facebook and join the militia there and get in on some of the fan feedback. We enjoy it. We love it. And thanks for all of you who participated in it all the time. So, yeah, awesome.
Yes, sir.
The Orange will get to stay in Syracuse for a couple games, the first of which is against 25th-ranked Seminoles. Tuesday, February 5th at 8 o'clock again, Joe's favorite star time. The all-time series sits at 7-3 in favor of the Cuse. The Orange and Florida State first met in 1990. The Orange won the first three games of the series before getting beat by Florida State in the 1997 NIT tournament. Oh, gosh. That was the year I graduated high school. The last time we played the Seminoles was last year. In January, Battle would score 36 points in that game, but it wouldn't be enough as we lost in double overtime in Tallahassee, 101-90. Florida State is kind of a mixed bag, I guess. They got wins over Miami twice and Clemson. They hung with Duke, but lost by two. They got losses to Pitt and Boston College. MJ Walker is taking the bulk of their shots behind the arc. He's 27 for 73. That's 37%. As a team, they're shooting 44.9 from the field, 33 from behind the arc, and 74.3 from the line. Florida sits at 31 in the net rankings that came out today, making this a quad two game for the Orange, just outside of a quad one game by like one point. Syracuse sits at 42 in the net rankings, and this makes it a quad one game for the Seminoles. So the Seminoles want to, you know, that's a quad one win for them. They come into the Dome and beat us, and we can't let that happen. So
what is it? The quad one's what, 1 through 30?
So the quad one home games are 1 through 30.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, just to kind of throw, you know, add some of that onto it. They also have, P.J. Savoy has actually shot 104 three-pointers.
Oh, was it? Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, but M.J. Walker has a much better percentage.
Yeah, 37.
So you got, M.J. Walker, 27-73, P.J. Savoy, 32-104, and David Nichols, 22-61. So those are their main guys. Terrence Mann can hit some, too. They're a tough team. They play good defense. They're taller. They're one of the taller teams in the ACC.
So is rebounding a worry for you, especially in this game?
Rebounding, yes, it is. You got Kevin Gailey. I'm not even going to try to do his first name, but he's one of their better players. He's a forward. They got Phil Kofor as a forward, and they still got the Chris Kumaji from last year, who's the center. I think he had a pretty good game. I don't know if it was against us. It was last year or the year before. But between those guys and Trent Forrest and Terrence Mann and MJ Walker and PJ Savoy, they got a bigger than average back line with the forwards in the center and just guards that they just throw at you in waves. And they are going to be one of those teams where they D up and they're not going to make it easy. I am worried about the rebounding. I think a lot of it just comes down to, I think that in the past we've definitely been successful stopping this team as far as on offense, like our defense.
They struggle against our zone, is what you're saying.
Usually in the past they have, yes. So again, they got some guys that can shoot some threes, but in the past I think they've gotten a little fallen in love with them type thing, you know, gotten to the point where they probably shoot too many than they actually need to. So, and again, they got guys that can hit them.
Yeah, you got guys that can hit them, but overall they're mediocre. They're okay.
I mean, I hate to call them mediocre. It looks like they've been off and on the road this year. They started out the year very well. They beat some decent squads. But in ACC play, like you said, they've lost. They lost at Virginia and at Duke. Like you said, they beat Miami twice. They've beaten Clemson, and they've beaten Georgia Tech. Those are the only teams that they've beaten in the ACC. Losing at Pitt and at Boston College. Yeah, we just won. We just went 2-0 in that little stretch. So.
What do you think it was? What do you think it was? What Boston College? I can't imagine them losing to Boston College, but
right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, they were. Pittsburgh beat them by 7, and you know they go and they lose to Duke by 2.
Right.
And Then they lose at Pitt by 7 and at Boston College by 5. And like I said, again, we just played those two teams back-to-back at their place, and we won. So when they've been a little underwhelming thus far. It could be one of those teams that were maybe a little bit better than some of those, the Purdue's and the LSU's and some of those wins that they got in the non-conference. They might have been a better team because of the people that they had returning. And now you have other teams that are starting to, get a little bit better. And they're catching up to them. So, again, they got some height. But overall, I like our chances to be able to keep it going. Usually Battle doesn't have two bad games in a row. But I'll tell you what, their numbers are there. So when you look at, like, their rank.
Well, go ahead.
Well, when you look at, like, the net, like you said, they're ahead of us in the net.
Yeah.
And as far as, like,
They're
ranked 25th. And that I look at KenPom. KenPom has them ranked 28th with, 37 adjusted overall offense and a 22 adjusted overall defense. So, and as far as us, he's got us 35th with 65 adjusted offense and 21 adjusted defense. So,
could be a low scoring game, maybe.
It could be. But I'll tell you what, Boston College scored 80 on them at home, 87 to 82. Pitt scored 75. Duke scored 80. So it'll probably be a little bit lower because of our defense and usually the way the pace of the game goes. But
so you're going to put out the MyBookie pick. Mm-hmm. The last MyBookie pick Joe put out was he did tweet it. He sure did. It just wasn't under the Q's Militia Twitter account.
No, it wasn't. I forgot to switch over. I was in a hurry.
Oh, my gosh. I saw that. I'm like, this guy. So, anyway.
I failed at life that day.
You failed. You did. He'll get that out. I just want to say, too, J.P. Mulligan's is giving away tickets. We've talked about that. They're giving them away. They're doing the whole ticket giveaway thing right now on Facebook for the game against the Seminoles Tuesday at 8 o'clock. So if you go to their Facebook page, like their Facebook page, find the post with the tickets, like it, and then share it, and then you're automatically entered to win those tickets. So, I mean, why the hell not? You know, go give them some love and like their Facebook page. They do it every once in a while for home games.
Go grab some food, too. They got underrated food.
You think it's underrated? I think it's great. You don't think it's not the talk of the town, you mean?
Yeah, I'm saying not enough people talk about it.
Right, it's not like when people talk about food in Syracuse, they immediately talk dinosaur barbecue. It's like,
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, but I'm telling you right now, their wings are up there.
They got some of the best wings in Syracuse. I remember there was a bar in Syracuse that everybody claimed had the best wings, but I didn't think they were that great. I don't want to mention.
Yeah.
But no. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but I'm not going to.
Right.
Yeah.
Just not that good. And I imagine
not that good. It's just up there. Up there, wings are all over the place. So
yeah, I mean, right. So
you got to be consistent, and the competition's all over the place. So
yeah, and that has like that kitchen. I've seen it. It's gross. I don't even know how they stay open. So anyway, I would never eat nothing out of there. I'm telling you, everybody's like everybody probably wants to know what I'm talking about, but I can't.
I know. Right?
I can't trash anybody and then say who they are. I'm not down for that. But yeah, you knew instantly though. That's funny.
Just do your research.
Yeah, right. So, all right. Well, that's it. Go check out JP's page. I want to thank them. They probably still have our swag there. I haven't heard anything that they need anything else. But
I'll have to talk to Nick.
Yeah, check it out. And I want to thank Tick Splits, Armchair All-Americans. I want to thank all of you. James on guitar. Thanks for participating in fan feedback. Thanks for listening. The show has just grown. Like, ever since this football season started, when we started getting back into talking games and doing previews for upcoming games, every month we have just shattered what we did the month previously, And that's just thanks all to you guys. You know, I think I counted. I think there's only like six states that don't that have never downloaded our podcast in the United States.
And yeah, no, I can't believe New York's one of them.
Yeah, but there is a ton of people who listen that are just all over, and there's a bunch in like California and like. You know, so thanks. I appreciate it. That's a one big, huge benefit about not being just local radio. So, thanks again, and I'll stop now. I'm just bloviating. But all right.
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. All
right. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, I noticed. All right. More Q's Militia podcast is inevitable. Thank you guys again. Joe, screw you. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Q's Militia podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.